Welcome to the Martin Bailey Photography Podcast. It's September 1st, 2012, and this is episode 350. Today we're going to have a bit of a really right stuff love fest as we look at the new camera L plates for the 5D Mark III and the completely redesigned L plate for the Canon EOS 1DX. We'll also look at the TVC 34L tripod with leveling base that I recently bought, and we can't do an RRS love fest without giving their flagship ball head, the BH55, a mention. In fact, I might as well start with the BH55, as this has been my best friend for almost 5 years now. I'd used a number of ball heads over the years, and as camera resolution increased, the flaws in my older ball heads became apparent and I'd look for something else. I recall my friend Graham Morgan showing me his BH55 on the first Hokkaido workshop, and I also recall thinking just how beautiful a work of engineering art it was. He said it was the most solid ball head he'd ever used, and of course he was right. The BH55 is rock solid. I bought mine within weeks of returning home from Hokkaido that year and haven't regretted it once. The image that we are currently looking at on your iPhone or iPad or on the blog, it shows a BH55 on top of the TVC 34L tripod and optional TL3LB leveling base, both of which we'll look at shortly. Really Right Stuff gear is that everything they make are works of art. So I couldn't help sharing this first image from a series of black background shots that I made of this stuff. I shared the series of black background images on Google Plus if you're interested. And if you go to the blog post at mbp.ac/350350, most of the pieces of gear and things like the Google Plus series of images are all linked from the text in the blog post. So go over to that. And you can also see the images much larger there as well. But yeah, take a look at those images on Google Plus if you're interested. For the rest of today's images, of course, we'll use white background shots to make it easier to see the gear. The BH55 has three knurled knobs, starting with the largest one, which is to lock the ball in place. And believe me, when you tighten this up, it doesn't take a lot of pressure, but when you tighten it up, that ball and camera are going nowhere. Of the two smaller knobs, the one at the bottom is to lock the horizontal movement, stopping the entire head from rotating. You use this to recompose when you need to move the camera horizontally across your scene. If you have the tripod level, you can turn the camera on its horizontal axis like this to take panorama photos. It's not going to be quite as accurate for panorama as setting it all up to rotate the camera around the no parallax point, but today's stitching software is so advanced that I personally don't worry too much about that. The top of the two small knobs is to control the drag or tension of the ball in its socket. This may not be an obvious benefit until you actually use it, but when you have this too slack and undo the large locking knob, the camera flops around all over the place, making it hard to control. Adding just the right amount of tension with this knob, it just pushes back enough as I move the camera around to make fine-tuning so much easier. You can tilt the ball head over and, you know, the camera over on its side down into one of the two circular cutouts in the head, which allows you to basically point the camera down. If you're still in horizontal mode, you can point down past the point that you would be able to without that. But you can also tilt the camera over on its side using these openings. But that moves the center of gravity of the setup over onto one side, and although it's still very stable for best results and for a number of other reasons, I choose to use L plates on my cameras, which enable me to unclamp the body and switch orientation without tilting the camera on its side. The major innovation with the B1DX-L plate is that the plate is now modular. So you can remove the side L component and just use it as a simple base plate. I probably will rarely do that, but it's nice to have the option. More importantly though, as you can see in the image we're currently looking at, there is an extra beveled hole which is used to screw the L component down in an extended position, giving you additional clearance for cables, especially when shooting with USB or Ethernet cables connected for tethered shooting, as we can see in this image. It's most useful in the portrait orientation, of course, and not really necessary if you don't need to mount the camera to a tripod in this position. All of the cables can be inserted with the L component flush to the camera, but it does make plugging them in a little easier too, so it's still useful in landscape orientation. Of course, if you are only plugging in a cable release, the All Really Right Stuff plates, L plates, have clearance for that, so you can use a cable release in portrait orientation without extending the L component and still be able to put them onto, mount the camera onto a tripod. Another nice feature, especially important now that we might be unscrewing and adjusting the L component part of the plate in the field, is a hole in the base to stow the hex key. I have it just resting in the hole in the photo that we can see now so that you can see it, but you just slide the key right in there and it's held in place with a small magnet. Before we go on, here's one last photo of the 1DXL plate, and this is a bottom view with the hex key stowed and the L component of the plate extended so that you can see exactly how this works. The 5D Mark III's L plate, the BGE11-L, is made specifically for the 5D Mark III with a battery grip fitted. Really Right Stuff also do a plate for just the 5D without the battery grip, but I like the larger form factor of the grip, and so this is always my choice. The 5D Mark III L plate is not modular like the 1DX's plate, but it's been redesigned to allow you to remove the battery pack, as this is now accessed from the side of the battery pack and not the back, as with the 5D or the 5D Mark II. And of course you can, again, plug in your cable release without hindrance and mount the camera in portrait orientation with the cable release plugged in as necessary. I buy lens plates for the tripod shoe for all of my longer lenses, and even my macro lenses that have the collar and tripod mount. And this allows me to mount the camera to the tripod via the lens rather than the camera. This is especially important with long lenses that tend to come with the tripod, collar and shoe in the first place, because if you mount this longer lens to the camera while the camera is attached to the tripod, it will put a huge amount of stress on the camera mount. And for super telephoto lenses, you may well even rip the mount out of the camera. It would also, of course, make your system a lot less stable and give rise to camera shake as well. Of course, with the lens mounted, to go to portrait orientation, you just loosen the screw on the lens collar and rotate the camera and lens, once again, keeping the center of gravity all down the center of the tripod for maximum stability. Because all of my cameras and long lenses are fitted with plates, it means that everything is interchangeable. You might remember that back in episode 288, I showed you how I fitted my Black Rapid double strap with Really Right Stuff quick release clamps so that I can quickly switch from tripod mounting to my straps. I also now use the Optech USA straps so that I can remove the main part of the strap, but then pass the shorter remaining strap through the Black Rapid strap to stop the camera from falling to the ground as it's done a few times while walking around or sitting in Zodiacs, with the strap attached to the lens. So, you know, basically there would be nothing without that. There'd be nothing to stop the body from falling to the ground, as it tends to do, because you're carrying it upside down and there's a bit of a weird thing that goes off there. But to take a look at more details of that, go to episode 288 at mbp.ac/288 if you want more information. I also use the Wimberly gimbal head with my 400mm f4 lens, and that works fine with the really right stuff dovetail plates. And although it broke and I never replaced it, I used to have a monopod with a quick release clamp fitted, and that was nice too, to be able to just switch between all of my supports or carrying devices without having to unscrew and switch out plates on everything. So last but not least, let's take a look at the Versa TVC 34L tripod with the optional TL3LB leveling base. Really Right Stuff makes series 1, 2 and 3 tripods in the Versa range, with 1 being the lightest, 2 being more sturdy and series 3 being the most robust. They are of course all engineered to the same high standards, but tripods are always a trade-off between size and weight and their stability. If you only intend to use your tripod with a mirrorless Micro Four Thirds camera, for example, there isn't much point in going for a Series 2 or 3. But if, like me, you use large, heavy lenses and heavy professional bodies, you might want to consider a Series 3 Versa tripod. Long-time listeners will probably recall me talking about the things that I bear in mind when selecting a tripod, and I, of course, bore these things in mind when I ordered my 34L2. Firstly, you want the tripod to get your camera's viewfinder to eye level without having to use a center column. Raising the center column makes the tripod less stable. If you think you're going to want to set the camera higher than eye level, consider doing what I did and buy a tripod that's even taller than yourself. I'm 5'10" or 178cm, and this tripod gets my camera's viewfinder to eye level without extending the bottom leg section. Having that extra height, though, will allow me to extend the tripod further if, for example, I want to shoot something overhead looking up into the viewfinder or using live view. It also enables me to extend one or two leg sections further when shooting on a steep slope, for example, or with one leg in a river, etc. The other things that I've mentioned in the past is that in deep snow, the legs can sink, and it's nice to be able to compensate for that as well. At events, if you take some step ladders, you can fully extend the tripod, stand on the steps, and then shoot over people's heads. As you can see, there are a number of reasons why getting a larger tripod can help your photography. It is, of course, a trade-off on weight, though. Take a look at the extended height of the tripods and bear in mind that you will add the height of a ball head and your camera to the viewfinder, and just make sure that the minimum that you want to do is get something that you don't have to bend over to look into. I selected the 34L tripod without a center pole and instead added the TL3LB leveling base. As you can see in this photo, it allows you to level the tripod even if the legs are on uneven ground. Of course, in this photo I simulated this by extending one leg further than the others, but you can also see how I was able to correct this. You turn the short pole extending out of the bottom of the leveling base to loosen it. Straighten the head, the base with the ball head on top, according to the built-in spirit level, and then turn the pole back to tighten it and lock the base in position. It will apparently adjust for up to 15 degrees of tilt, which you can see from these photos is quite significant. You might be wondering why I wouldn't just allow the ball head to be at an angle and correct the camera with the ball head itself, but this goes back to what we mentioned earlier about panorama photos. With the base level, you can unscrew the horizontal movement screw on the BH55 and turn the camera on the base, and that will help you to keep your horizon straight as you shoot your series of panorama shots. To do this without the leveling base, your only other option is to adjust each leg until you get the tripod straight, but that takes a lot more time. We can also see in this photo that the pole extending out of the bottom of the leveling base does not touch the floor when you have the tripod set to its lowest level by splaying the legs out to their full extent. Of course, the reason you'll want to buy a sturdy tripod is to keep your gear rock solid during your exposure. I do a lot of long exposures, and you really need a solid tripod to avoid camera shake once you slow your shutter speed down. Even for normal speed exposures, if your ball head and camera shudder as your shutter unit moves, you are going to end up with blurred images. Longer lenses are heavier and therefore obviously need a more sturdy tripod. The 34L will support up to 50 pounds or 23 kilos in weight, which is enough for even the biggest lenses. But long lenses can shudder during exposure, so I also use a really right stuff lens support package to support the front of the lens as I shoot, which reduces the shudder a lot. Here's a photo from episode 198 in which I talked about this lens support system. You can see that I also use the really right stuff replacement foot. This really is a really right stuff love fest podcast. I was also asked recently what was wrong with my trusty Jitso 3 series tripod and why I replaced it. So I should say for the record that I still believe that Jitso make incredibly good tripods. I was always happy with the sturdiness of my Jitso coupled with the BH55 ball head. The problem was that from a few months ago, one of the legs started to rotate at the top section, the top leg section. It was rotating in the part where the legs all come together at the top. And that was basically making it difficult to loosen and tighten the legs to extend or retract them. I'll be keeping the Jitso tripod too. I just had to send it in for repairs and didn't expect it to be returned before I leave for the US to continue my Pixels to Pigment workshops. Having said that, now that I own a really right stuff tripod, I can't see me going back. In true RRS style, the TVC 34L tripod is an engineering work of art. Even down to those little stoppers at the top of the legs that stop them from opening up any further than the normal position, but when you pull those out and drop the tripod down to its minimum shooting height, when you bend the legs back, these stoppers just ratchet back in at each stop. And all I can say is that, you know, the guys at Really Right Stuff said that they set out to create the perfect tripod, and I think that they did that and more. I'm very pleased that I took the plunge. The only thing that I will have to work around is that without the center pole, I'm not able to flip the camera around and hang the camera down below the tripod for super low angle shots and macro work. It does go very low, so I think I'll be okay most of the time, but I guess when I leave the house to do some really low angle macro work, I'll probably go back to my old trusty Jitso. Or maybe, you never know, in the future I may end up with a second really right stuff tripod and select one that has the center pole at that point. The center pole and everything are interchangeable, though. So if I really wanted to do that, I could just buy a center pole from Really Right Stuff as well and switch that out. But the options are pretty much endless. So just to recap, larger, sturdier tripods are always a trade-off with regards to size and weight. If you're going to be traveling or even trekking, of course, you might decide to go for a lighter, smaller tripod and live with the lack of ultimate sturdiness and even having to bend down to look through the viewfinder. It's totally up to you. My main advice here, though, is weigh up the advantages and disadvantages and make your decision based on what you're able to carry. If you can carry and have the budget for the larger, more sturdy tripod and don't have another reason to make that trade-off, then go for the larger one. It'll serve you well, I assure you. The same goes for ball heads, of course. The BH55 is Really Right Stuff's flagship model, but they do a series of smaller ball heads that are, from what I can see, also incredibly well made. I wouldn't expect anything else from Really Right Stuff. So if you go for a smaller tripod, consider a smaller head too. There wouldn't really be much point in having a big fat BH55 on top of their smallest tripod. One other word before we finish about the quick release clamps as opposed to the knurled knob clamps that Really Right Stuff also make. I'm asked regularly if I trust the quick release clamp and if I think the knob might be better or safer. My reply is usually that I tried the knob release in the past and I didn't like it. It takes too long to switch out a camera or lens and you have to turn the knob, you know, and unscrew it. Plus, in cold conditions, it can be a pain, literally. I personally prefer the quick release aspect and I've never once had one of these come loose, so yes, I trust them totally. Even when dangling my gear from the Black Rapid double strap using the quick release clamps. Really Right Stuff don't make the cheapest camera supports on the planet by a long shot, but it is one of those occasions, like many, when you really do get what you pay for. If you can make do with cheaper, that's great. But most people I know end up spending more money on camera supports than is really necessary because they start off cheap and gradually replace their tripods and heads as they grow as photographers and find inadequacies in their gear. I've done this myself, going through a number of tripods and ball heads over the years. If you read this early enough, though, in your photographic life, you may even be able to save yourself a little bit of money by just going for the best now, because that's what Really Right Stuff gear is, the best. Before we finish, I'd just like to also say sorry that this week's podcast was a little late, or quite late. We were tied up with the Tokyo Pixels to Pigment workshop last weekend, and also then after that, just booking flights and getting everything sorted out for the next leg, which is going to be in the US and then Canada and London. So I'm going to be on and off the air for the next month or so. It's going to be a relatively hectic time. I'm going to try to pull in some interviews and things like that as I go around the world. But if you don't see an episode for a while, don't unsubscribe or anything like that. I am coming back. It's just going to be a relatively rocky few months from now on. If you'd like to join us on any of the Pixels to Pigment workshops, there's still spaces. We're going to be in San Francisco and in New York and then Toronto and then London at the beginning of October. So take a look at the pixelstopigment.com website and see what that's all about. I'm also going to be taking advantage of the fact that I'm in the States to visit Photo Shelter's Luminance 2012 workshops and series of talks. And this is going to be amazing. I'm going to be able to learn from people like Joe McNally and Zach Arias, as well as, you know, there's going to be just one after the other of TED-style talks. And this is, the workshops are on September 11, and then the talks are September 12 and 13. And if you're also planning on going, do drop me a line and let me know, or at least search me out when we're there, because it'll be a great chance to actually meet face to face and at least shake hands and say hello. Thanks very much for listening today. Remember that you can find me on Google+ and Twitter, etc. And links to everything that I'm up to are on the top page at martinbaileyphotography.com. So do drop by and take a look. I'll be back next week with another episode. But in the meantime, you take care and have a great week, whatever you're doing. Bye-bye.